It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Overnight, the United States assassinating Iran's top general Qasem Soleimani. This leading the U.S. State Department this morning to warn all U.S. citizens that are currently in Iraq to get out of the country immediately. They are saying they are at threat for kidnapping or even being killed. This coming after that strike last night outside of Baghdad's international airport killed this leader of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Additionally, 7 other people were killed, including a deputy in a very large Iraqi-Iranian-backed Shia militia. It's important to note here that the Iranians today are vowing to respond. Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, implementing a 3-day mourning period. As you saw this morning, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani tweeting out that there will be revenge for the death of Soleimani. It's important to note that what we have talked about over the past few days and even the past year was a proxy war between the West and Iran. It's important to note now that has changed. A direct confrontation between Iran and the United States happened last night with the assassination of this top military commander in Iran's Revolutionary Guard. As for any potential Iranian response, we can expect a response to be calculated. They are a very large power in the Middle East, and they have a lot of firepower not only in Iran, but also in places like Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and even the Gaza Strip. We've spoken with factions inside Gaza in the past year who indicated they do receive money and weapons from the Iranian regime. We know that Hezbollah in Lebanon also getting support from the Iranians. So also expect U.S. ally Israel to ensure that their forces are prepared for the possibility of a confrontation. We also saw video today tweeted out by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo of Iraqis dancing in the streets. They have spoken out against their own government over the past year regarding Iranian influence in Iraq. There is a lot of corruption within the government. A lot of it has to do with the Iranian regime. So we did see some civilians there extremely excited that this airstrike was carried out overnight by a drone killing Iran's top military commander. But again, the region tense this morning, waiting for potential retaliation by the Iranians. Everyone waiting to see what the developments are going to be.
All right, that was Trey Yangst on Fox and Friends this morning. And this is Sandy Rios with you. If you didn't watch the news later last night, then you don't know this. And this is in the words of Vice President Joe Biden, a really big deal. This is a really big deal. President Trump ordered this yesterday morning, and by nighttime it had taken place. And Qasem Soleimani, who is the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, called the Quds Force, and I'm going to tell you about them in just a second, was killed, assassinated at the Iraqi airport, the Iraqi International Airport. And he was meeting there with the leader in Iran. I don't know if he's Iraqi born or what, but I told you yesterday that the Iranians are basically controlling Iraq right now. And so he was there meeting with the person in charge of the operation to take down our embassy in Iraq, which happened on New Year's Eve. And we talked about that yesterday. And they were both killed. They weren't the only ones. There were 6 others killed. They said that Qasem Soleimani, the only way they could identify him was with his ring because he was just demolished. And so the whole world now is waking up to this, and it is a very dangerous situation. I want to read to you what the Pentagon had to say about it yesterday, what their statement was. At the direction of the president, the U.S. military has taken decisive defensive action to protect U.S. personnel abroad by killing Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Quds Force, a U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organization. The Pentagon said that Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq. So the guy that was killed with him that I told you about, his name is Abu Mahdi al-Muhandi. He's the leader of the Qatib Hezbollah, which is known as the Popular Mobilization Force, and that's in Iraq. And it is the group that stormed the U.S. Embassy on December the 31st. And so he was killed also. This is a huge story. It is just, you can imagine, I don't really need to explain it to you. I do want to explain a lot more of the details to you, but you get just instinctively why this is a very big deal. Understand that Iran is the greatest state sponsor of terror on the globe, and they've been getting away with it for decades, since at least 1979, and probably before that. That's as far back as my personal understanding goes of their modern day actions. That's when they stormed our embassy and took 200 and something Americans and held them hostage for 400 days. I'm giving you approximate numbers, but that's basically what it was. And you might, may or may not remember that when President Reagan was sworn into office, before, I think even as he was swearing in, the Iranians were releasing the hostages, because Jimmy Carter had been the president and he was too weak to do anything in response. That's basically what happened. So our fellow Americans were held hostage for, you know what, almost 2 years. Horrible. And that was just the beginning, at least again in current times. Certainly not the beginning. Iran and all of Islam has been raging and wreaking havoc on the globe since it was founded by Muhammad in the 700 AD. And so, again, approximate date. It might be 782, 722. I don't know. 700, though. 700 years after the birth of Jesus was the birth of Islam. And so, and Islam hasn't changed that much. The Quran has not changed, and the people who actually embrace and believe in it have not changed their behavior. They kill or they conquer, and they wreak havoc everywhere they go. All right, so I wanted to share again some other details with you. I said that Soleimani was the head of the Quds Force, and that is part of the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. They're sort of they're the elites. They're like our special forces. And he was answering directly to President Rouhani in Iran. He wasn't in the pecking order. They say that he's kind of like the spy master, the shadow commander. And in recent years, the UN had actually issued some sort of a resolution that he was not allowed to travel internationally, not because he had done so much to destroy and kill around the world. But he'd become very bold in the last few years. You'll see lots of images of him on television today because he's been out and about, shall we say. And so he was out and about in Iraq doing his dirty work against America there, and he was taken out at the order of our president. And so let me just tell you a little bit about the Quds Force. They have satellites in all of these countries. Now, Trey Yangst mentioned this a little bit. Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Shiite militias in Iraq, the Shiites in Afghanistan. Now, let me just explain that the Iranians are Shiite Muslims, and much of Iraq are Sunni Muslims, and the Sunnis hate the Shias. Their basic doctrine is the same. They believe different things about the coming of how the world is going to end and how they're going to take over the entire world. It varies, and they also trace their their philosophies or their their differences trace back way back to the early days after Muhammad and his brother or cousin or some. I'm sorry, it's allergy season. Well, it's always allergy season. I think it shouldn't be. For heaven's sake, in January, it shouldn't be allergy season, but it is. So forgive me for groveling. They had a difference of opinion about a lot of different things, and so they broke. But again, their basic doctrine is the same. And so that's why when I said to you yesterday that basically, even though there's tremendous conflict between the Sunnis and the Shias, between elements in Iraq and elements of Iran, like you heard Mike Pompeo reporting that Iraqis were dancing in the streets. Well, yes, the Sunnis were dancing in the streets because they hate the Shias. But when push comes to shove, the Sunni and the Shia work, they hate us more than they hate each other. So I know it's complicated. That's why many people think we should not be there anymore. And I was reading some commentary this morning that reminded me that we no longer need their oil. And so we probably don't need to have the presence there that we've had for so long. It's probably time to stop that. But I'm getting off track. Let me talk again about this Quds Force. I'm going to give you an idea of the kinds of things that they have done. This is courtesy of Frank Miles in Fox News. He sort of compiled this list. Despite being outmanned, outgunned, and outspent by its adversary, Soleimani has employed tactics, including terrorist attacks, covert operations, and the outsourcing of fighting to foreign militias to undermine the sovereignty of neighboring states and expand Iran's military and diplomatic influence. And, of course, you can imagine that it was only helped by the billions of dollars that President Obama shipped them in cash on these pallets in various currencies in the dead of night when he was president. What do you think that money went for? What do you think that money went for? You talk about a traitor to this country. President Obama did so much damage. And you have to understand that his fidelity to Iran was remarkable. The Iran deal was a horrible agreement. But it made a lot of money for a lot of people, and it certainly helped Iran. I'm off topic again. All right, the Quds Force, which is what Soleimani led. This is what they did. They were designated a foreign terrorist organization by the United States in April 2019. Who was president then, I ask you? Oh, yes, it was President Trump. It's the first time the U.S. has designated the arm of another government as a foreign terrorist organization. And the reason that's important is because it gives us resources and the ability and freedom to go after them. And so that's why President Trump did that. I'm sure John Bolton had something to do with that. But let me go on. The U.S. and European Union both have accused the Quds Force of providing weapons and other material support to President Bashar al-Assad in suppressing the uprising in Syria. Military analysts say that the Iranian Republican Guard began deploying fighters during the Iran-Iraq War, and that was the first one with George Herbert Walker Bush Sr. And that's when they really started exporting their revolutionary ideas into the Middle East. In 2001, the Quds Force shared intelligence. Now, this is a twist. With the United States to topple the Taliban. So they worked with America in 2001, and George Bush was, and his helpers, people that worked with him, were duped into thinking that they were really good Muslims. Now, look, I'm talking about people who adhere to the, I'm not talking about Muslims who really don't pay attention to what the Quran says, and there are plenty of those. I think those are the peaceful ones. Certainly those that adhere to the Quran strictly are not peaceful. They're just not. And George W. Bush, as president, and his advisors just got it all wrong. They got it all wrong. They inherited that from George Herbert Walker Bush, and it certainly got worse during the Clinton era because Mrs. Clinton was deeply involved with the Islamic leaders around the country, around the world, through the United Nations. And then we go to George W. Bush. I always repeat my mistakes. It's one of my things I'm famous for. George W. Bush inherited those bad policies and took them another level. It was pretty upsetting to see Islamists right after 9/11, you know, traveling through the White House, sitting there in the chairs in the various rooms of the White House, spewing their propaganda to George W. Bush. That's when I first became aware of this. Who of us knew really much about the Middle East before 2001? And I came to Washington right after 2001. And Frank Gaffney was someone who became such a dear friend to me. Frank was one of the first people that ever briefed me on what was actually happening in the Middle East. So they worked with us to topple the Taliban, but the Taliban were Sunnis. That's why they did that. And then, of course, they turned against us and started working with the Taliban. And then the other thing you have to understand is this Soleimani was responsible for killing so many Americans. We have actually a figure on it in the Iraq War. And, of course, the maiming and all those, the loss of limbs and legs, it's just unbelievable. This is a day of justice for our soldiers who fought in the Middle East beginning in 2003, I think it was, when we did that invasion. All right, that's a lot of information, but there's more to come. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear her baby's heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies whose lives were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Samuel Alito, Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Justice Alito has a legal career dating back to 1977 and is entering his 14th year on the Supreme Court. Isaiah 61:8 reminds us of the importance of justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Justice Alito as he serves on the Supreme Court. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
The next time you hear a CNN anchor virtue signaling about President Trump, I want you to remember Anderson Cooper's lewd and vulgar behavior during the New Year's Eve show. Mr. Cooper and his co-host Andy Cohen spent most of the evening giggling like schoolgirls as they told naughty jokes and cavorted with a drag queen in a giant shoe. There was also a profane and sexually explicit conversation about things we cannot even talk about on the radio. They also dished about whether Alice from the Brady Bunch was a closet lesbian. The actress who played Alice, by the way, a devout born-again Christian. During the 2016 presidential election, Donald Trump was rightfully condemned for engaging in locker room talk on a bus. CNN was one of the networks leading the charge. So if locker room talk is not permissible in a private bus, why does CNN condone such language on national television? I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This is a bold, decisive, and frankly long overdue move on the part of the United States to take down Soleimani. And just so everyone knows, he is directly responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American soldiers, thousands, if not tens of thousands of people across the Middle East. He's the equivalent of Iran's head of CIA and special forces that runs all of their militias and proxies across Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. And particularly during the height of the Iraq War, we're running the Iranian-backed Iraqi Shiite militias that were bombing, shooting, ambushing, and killing American soldiers, and that then staged this. I don't even like to call it a protest. This was an attack on a U.S. embassy. And I think this is the right move on the part of the president. It's proportional. It's not attacking Iran directly, but it's taking down the head of their special forces that have been killing Americans for years. So I fully support the president in this move, and Iran needs to hear this loud and clear. If they continue to escalate, this president, this commander-in-chief will not stand for it, and they will feel the pain and the consequences of their actions.
Yeah, that was Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida, and he is an Iraqi veteran. He was on with Pete Hegseth last night on Fox News. And actually, I want to go ahead and play their conversation, because Pete, of course, served in the Iraq War, too. And they, man, the thing I noticed this morning, Trey Yangst is pretty usually dispassionate when he does his reports in the Middle East. And I don't know if you heard the adrenaline in his voice. And then I picked that up with Michael and Pete. Of course, they have a personal vested interest. Don't you know that they had friends and that they experienced the results of this Soleimani's carefully laid plans to destroy Americans? And so, of course, they're emotional about this. And as well they should be, and as well should all of us be. Even if we didn't fight there, it was a war that we fought, and it was our kids, our sons, our cousins, our brothers, our husbands that laid it on the line and were undermined and destroyed in many cases, and many lives altered forever unnecessarily by the wickedness of Soleimani. All right, so here is Michael Waltz and Pete Hegseth with further remarks on that. Let's listen to clip three.
He was in Iraq, and he was with the head of Kataib Hezbollah, that just rocketed our base and killed an American and then staged this attack on our embassy. Soleimani was with them. The head of Kataib Hezbollah says he's a Soleimani soldier. So, you know, there's another piece to realize here is that the Israelis have said for years in a number of reports that they have wanted to take action against him, and the Obama administration declined it. I don't know the veracity of those reports, but they have certainly been out there for years. We've had opportunities to take him down, and it took decisive action on the part of our commander in chief. And for the critics who are going to say this is warmongering, no, this is peace through strength. This is deterrence, and this is what the Iranian regime understands. They are emboldened by perceived weakness, and they would continue their attacks unless we took strong action. And they are deterred by strength and when we impose consequences. So again, this is absolutely the right proportional move. We're not sending a million American troops in to invade Tehran. This is taking out a designated terrorist who has American blood on his hands as he was in Iraq conducting malicious activities against our forces, against our allies.
When the president signaled he's sending 750 troops and possibly 4,000 from the 82nd Airborne, he in his mind had already made the decision that if a strike like something like this was possible, we're going to have troops forward deployed to react to it. It also, as the congressman mentioned, is such a contrast to the Obama administration. The guy responsible for the attack, not just riots, attack outside of our embassy in Baghdad, was sitting in the Oval Office with Barack Obama in December of 2011, and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton, by the way, as they're trying to forge an Iran deal that includes pouts of cash after we surrender in the Persian Gulf. Contrast that with him rioting, and we respond by killing their top dog, again, in Iraq, because it's a bad situation there. We don't have to get tied down, but the world's a better place that this general's gone, and Iran's going to hear it. Tehran heard something tonight.
All right, yes, they did. And just to be clear, President Obama gave them $1.7 billion, meaning the Iranians. The Iranians, he gave them $1.7 billion in cash. They did it overnight in a plane with pallets, thinking they'd never be seen, but somebody saw it and took pictures. That's how we know about this. And you heard Pete say that the guy that was killed with Soleimani was the guy that led the attack on our embassy on Tuesday. And he was in President Obama's office meeting with Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, you know, trying to work things out on this Iranian deal. Do you see? Do you see? Is it becoming clearer, more concrete why President Obama's administration and why the Democrats right now who have been taken over by the left are such a danger to us and to the world? By the way, that reminds me of a Rudy Giuliani piece, and I'm not going to be able to find it in a second, so I'll try to recall. He made the statement on New Year's Eve. I meant to play this for you yesterday. He talked about how horrendous the things are that he's been finding out and how the Democrats are so involved in the corruption and that they've been making money hand over fist. It's been going on for decades, and that's why they are desperate. He said it goes up to the highest levels of the Obama administration, and that's why the Democrats are so desperate to stop Donald Trump. So one more piece of this puzzle. Now, Pete mentioned, and we need to talk about retaliation, because for certain there will be retaliation on us. I mentioned to you that the Quds Force has, they have about 20,000 official members of the Quds Force, they have all their proxies in various countries. As I said, Hezbollah in Lebanon and other places, other different names of organizations in the Middle East there, so they can rally their troops everywhere, and you know that they will, and that's why the president is asking for Americans to get out of Iraq, primarily get out, get out, get out, because you'll be the targets. New York City and Los Angeles are already increasing their security because they know that they will be the targets too. They're international cities. They have a lot of people. There are probably Iranians all over this country, but certainly they seems like the Islamists do sort of gravitate often to the big cities because they can hide and do whatever it is that they do, like kill Jews on the street or attack them. There's a lot of that going on, too. It's not all Islamist. A lot of it is, it looks to me, now this is a speculation on my part, but I think we're seeing the effects of the Islamization of prisoners in jail. There's so much of that. You know, that's another thing that President Obama did. I can't, honestly, in this moment, he pointed a man into the Pentagon who was an Islamist, whose job was to place chaplains, is Muslim chaplains in our chaplain system. And he did a great job. And he chose, you know, Muslim Brotherhood jihadists. And so we are seeing a radicalization of the prison population, and we're seeing the effects of that on the city streets. And so I don't know that the attacks, I'm not saying that I know in this moment that the attacks we're seeing on the streets of New York are related to that, but I suspect there is a correlation on some level, and in some of those, I think there's a correlation. Yet one more wonderful thing that Barack Obama did for us as a country. Let me just say again that Iran is vowing harsh retaliation. They've already replaced Soleimani, but he was the brilliant brain power behind the Quds Force, no question about that. So that's going to be a huge loss to them. They're going to be doing 3 days of mourning. And whether they'll wait 3 days to retaliate, I don't know. We'll see. So stay tuned for that and just be on guard. Those of you flying, and they will retaliate. I'm sure they will. This is not going to be a fun ride. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. And yet it's not all-out war. And I don't think that Iran, if they were honest, wants all-out war with the United States. I think the United States still is so far superior to the Iranians that they know better than that. I do think, based on what I'm reading, that we should be going after the Iranian Navy because they've been doing all kinds of horrible things in the Straits of Hormuz, and we are in danger of being cut off from oil fields. The other nations of the world, we have plenty of oil ourselves, but the Iranians they're wreaking havoc. They're operating like pirates, and we've talked about many of those stories in this past year. All right, so this is a great article, and we're going to put this on our Facebook page. Matthew Continetti, who is the he's on the panel with Brett all the time. He's the senior editor for the Free Beacon, Washington Free Beacon. He does a great job, and he wrote this article last night, and I want to read part of it to you. This is a quick turnaround, I'm telling you. You have to have a lot of knowledge to turn an article out this quickly since the attack just happened last night, or the assassination. This is what Matthew says. The successful operation against Qasem Soleimani is a stunning blow to international terrorism and a reassertion of American might. It will also test President Trump's Iran strategy. It is now Trump, not Ayatollah Khomeini. That's the Ayatollah Khomeini is not the political leader of Iran, but he is. He is the radical cleric. There is the President Rouhani. They have this, you know, pretend democracy. We know better than that, but it's really ruled by the firm hand of the Ayatollah. So, all right, let me go back to this sentence. It will also test President Trump's Iran strategy. It is now Trump, not Ayatollah Khomeini, who has ascended a rung on the ladder of escalation by killing the military architect of Iran's Shiite empire. For years, Iran has set the rules. It was Iran that picked the time and place of confrontation, but no more. And moving down in the article, he says, in 2018, Trump withdrew the United States from the from the Iran deal. The Iranian economy turned to shambles because he jacked up sanctions. This maximum pressure campaign of economic warfare deprived the Iranian war machine of revenue and drove a wedge between the Iranian public and the Iranian government. Trump offered the opportunity to negotiate a new agreement, but Iran refused and began to lash out. Last June, Iran's fingerprints were all over two oil tankers that exploded in the Persian Gulf. Trump tightened the screws. Iran downed a U.S. drone. Trump called off a military strike at the last minute and responded indirectly with more sanctions, cyber attacks, and additional troop deployments to the region. Last September, a drone fleet launched by Iranian proxies in Yemen devastated the Aramco oil facility in Abqaiq, Saudi Arabia. Trump responded as he had in previous incidents with nonviolence. Iran slowly brought the region to a boil. First it hit boats, then drones, then the key infrastructure of a critical ally. And on December 27, it went further. Members of the Kataib Hezbollah militia launched rockets at a U.S. installation near Kirkuk, Iraq. Four U.S. soldiers were wounded, and an American contractor was killed. Destroying physical objects merited economic sanctions and cyber intrusions. Ending lives required a lethal response. It arrived on December 29th when F-15s pounded five Kataib Hezbollah facilities across Iraq and Syria. At least 25 militiamen were killed. Then when Kataib Hezbollah and other Iran-backed militias organized a mob to storm the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, setting fire to the grounds, America made a show of force and threatened several reprisals. The angry crowd melted away. The risk to the U.S. Embassy and the possibility of another Benghazi must have angered Trump. The game has changed, Secretary of Defense Esper said hours before the assassination of Soleimani at the Baghdad airport. Indeed, it has. The decades-long gray zone conflict between Iran and the United States manifested itself in subterfuge, terrorism, technological combat, financial chicanery, and proxy forces. Throughout it all, the two sides confronted each other directly only once, and that was in the second half of Ronald Reagan's presidency. That is about to change. President Trump has put at risk the entirety of the Iranian imperial enterprise, even as his maximum pressure campaign strangles the Iranian economy and fosters domestic unrest. That will get the Ayatollah's attention. And now, the United States must prepare for his answer. Yeah, so this is serious stuff, and I just wanted you to understand it as best I could. John Bolton has jumped in with congratulations, which I'm grateful for. I'm so sorry John is not still there. Part of me wishes that President Trump would pick up the phone and reconcile with John, because I can see his hand in this attack. I can just see it. John is a hardliner, but now President Trump is becoming a hardliner too, so perhaps their policies are more closely aligned than President Trump thought. And in the reaction of the left, well, you can imagine what the reaction of the left is. Let's give you a taste of it in clip six. Clip six.
The Obama administration failed to respond adequately.
Millions of people in Iran and in Syria and in Lebanon and in Israel are waking up this morning very, very scared in a region that seems to be one step closer to another war.
This strike is fairly brazen, fairly audacious to a certain degree.
Right decision, wrong commander-in-chief.
I am deeply worried that he did not incorporate intelligence into planning this attack and thinking about the repercussions.
The president with his flag tweet has certainly made this a U.S. versus Iran event. Grave concerns that there is no plan, that there's no policy, that this is another one-off act.
Okay, so you know what's going to happen today, so just be prepared for it. The left hasn't gotten their act together yet, but I can already see signs of it. Nancy Pelosi's coming back and saying it was illegal. The president can't call a strike like that without permission from Congress. Ilhan Omar are saying that, will those with congressional authority step in and stop this president? I know I will. And you can imagine what the others are saying. Vice President Joe Biden called it a stick of dynamite tossed into a tinderbox. And, of course, all the other presidential candidates are jumping in as well, with the exception of just a couple of them. And the Democrats are going to weigh in on this. Ilhan Omar is suggesting the president is doing this just to get out of impeachment. So you're going to hear a lot of that kind of stuff until they finally land on what they think is their most powerful point. So So just be prepared for that. Sandy Rios in the morning.
So Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stopped. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Often when the concept of intercession is raised, we normally think about prayer, and we should. Prayer is one form of intercession. Here we see another, living intercession. At the climax of a plague, Aaron runs into the fray, armed with incense, and where he stands, the plague stops. Aaron literally stands between the living and the dead. May God move us to be living intercessors for our day, and where we take our stand in Christ, the plague stops.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Regressives have demonized the word nationalism as if there is something suspect about patriotism and love of country. But we should never forget that the founders were Christian nationalists. They sought to build a nation on the truth claims of Christianity. Four times in the Declaration of Independence, they refer to the God of the Bible. They believe that all of our fundamental civil rights come not from government, but from God. In the First Amendment, they prohibited the federal government, including judges, from interfering with the free exercise of the Christian faith in any way. We are locked today in a fierce cultural civil war over the kind of nation we will be. In 2020, there's no room for the summer soldier or the sunshine patriot. Let's put on the full armor of God and fulfill the vision of the founding fathers for our nation.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump's liquidation of Qasem Soleimani, an Iranian terrorist with immense amounts of American blood on his hands, has not only exacted a measure of revenge for Iran's murderous jihadism, he has struck a direct blow at the regime in Tehran that brutally oppresses its own people and increasingly threatens ours. Soleimani's assassination must now be followed up with an intensified campaign aimed at empowering Iranians to bring about at last the removal from power of the rest of the thugs who have, for 40 years, called for death to America. As we take necessary steps to deter the mullah's retaliation in theater, we must also act immediately to roll up Soleimani's foreign legion, the terrorist group known as Hezbollah. It has units inside the United States who inevitably will be ordered later, if not sooner, to attack targets in this country. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The head of the IRGC, this man, Qasem Soleimani, is, by all accounts, a bad character and has led all kinds of attacks. But are you saying that he now is equated to, let's say, the head of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, in U.S. policy perspective?
Yeah, he's a terrorist. Qasem Soleimani has the blood of Americans on his hands.
That was back in April of 2019. And that was Brad Baer, of course, and Mike Pompeo, which I just thought was an interesting exchange. So then going back in time, as soon as President Trump was elected and sworn in, and General Flynn was his national security advisor, Lieutenant General Flynn made this public statement. Let's listen.
The Obama administration failed to respond adequately to Tehran's malign actions, including weapons transfers, support for terrorism, and other violations of international norms. The Trump administration condemns such actions by Iran that undermine security, prosperity, and stability throughout and beyond the Middle East, and which places American lives at risk. President Trump has severely criticized the various agreements reached between Iran and the Obama administration, as well as the United Nations, as being weak and ineffective. Instead of being thankful to the United States in these agreements, Iran is now feeling emboldened. As of today, we are officially putting Iran on notice.
That was Lieutenant General Flynn, and you know, who only served with the president a couple of weeks before Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, and James Comey set him up and really destroyed his reputation and his life. He was a great patriot. Remember that he served under President Obama and actually was the only general who came out in opposition of the president's policies, who spoke out to Congress about what was actually happening. It's just, and now his life is destroyed. It looks like this judge is going to send him to jail. I just makes me sick. But that was General Flynn, and that he understood that a long time ago. He was a patriot then. He's a patriot now. Anyway, that's the story of what's happening in Iran. I want to move now to email. What interesting email and Facebook posts we've had in the last week or so during the Christmas vacation in the last few days. And I want to start with this one because this is just fun and meaningful. And it's from Phil in Northern Ireland. He says, "Dear Sandy, your show is great. Let me wish you and your team a very happy Christmas and a huge thank you for all your good work on the show. You cram a lot into a small space that I'd selfishly wish lasted longer. But working in broadcasting, I know what it takes to put together the show you do, so praise to you and the team." Okay, guys, did you hear that? The team back there in Tupelo? Praise to you guys, too. "I live in Northern Ireland, and the big man upstairs has pointed me your way. The big man upstairs has pointed me your way after a lot of good praying to ease a long morning commute. I listen every day to you to get the other side of the coin that we here in the UK never get with regards to having a liberal press overload. Your coverage of the Trump impeachment has been great. I'm by no means a conservative, but have seen more and more the UK and Ulster, with its special brand of political issues, swing increasingly into the chaos of liberal anything-goes attitudes. The culmination of this recently began the Northern Ireland Assembly effectively being blackmailed and railroaded by Westminster," that's the governing branch in London, "by Westminster into providing any age abortions and gay marriage because of the political impasse. There's small space for God in UK politics anymore. Anyway, I'll stay upbeat and trust to the big man's plan and pray for change. Merry Christmas to you and all. God bless, Phil." Well, Phil, you made my day. I mean, what a lovely email, and how gratifying and also a little scary that you are listening from across the pond and listening to me and looking to me for information and trusting me. I mean, that's very humbling. And could I just say, on a personal note, that I'm so Irish. My family is so Irish. My mother was a Wilson, and her mother was a Towery. So there's a ton of Irish in my blood. And of course, you know, my son is in the UK in Scotland, and so I watch the UK carefully. I always have, but certainly since my son is in Scotland, it is a special interest to me. And I wish I knew more of your personal story. Perhaps we can exchange some more information. But I would say that God is obviously working in you, Phil, because, you know, he says that if any man has ears to hear, let him listen. Not everyone has ears to hear the truth. And I don't mean just the truth about God. I don't think God and his word meant just the truth about God. I think all truth is God's truth. So whether it's political truth or policies about the lives of babies and the womb or whatever it is, if you have ears to hear, listen. And I think you have ears to hear. And that's why God has sort of closed the loop for you and answered prayers. And it's just a real honor to me that you are listening. I go back to that Northern Ireland situation about the embrace of, you know, for those of you who don't know, Ireland was the last holdout in the EU on abortion and gay marriage. I mean, they really fought And they had such a strong pro-life movement. I've interviewed a lot of the youth of Ireland who had a very strong pro-life movement among the youth there. And so my understanding was, Phil, you say it's Westminster. I understand the EU had a lot to do with that too, because the EU has let's just say, no tolerance for countries that want to not embrace gay marriage or support abortion rights. And I think tremendous economic pressure came on Ireland, and other pressure. Maybe, you wonder if Brexit will make a big difference with that. Well, you know it will. Great Britain will not be compelled to follow the dictates of the European Union. I don't know if the bell can be unrung, but at least that's a positive move. And maybe that's the reason why so many people want to get out of Brexit, and will be in short order. So thank you for this. Oh, one last thing, Phil. I don't know if you heard our Christmas special, but I played a lot of music from Celtic Women on our Christmas special. That was December the 20th. So if you want to go back and listen to that, you'd probably enjoy it. All right, that was just fun. And then, I got one, I think the day that we re-aired over Christmas, Mallory Millett's interview. Remember, Mallory was the sister Kate Millett, who was really the brain thrust behind the women's movement, behind feminism. Her life story is just dreadful. If you haven't heard that story, Mallory unpacks it, and it's pretty scary, the satanic implications. And that's the day we re-aired this, and then I got this email from Richard, who says, "You are obviously a racist piece of blank, given your spew about Christian whites. I'm just glad that you are in the minority and so obviously wrong." So I just wanted you to know, I do get the other kinds of email too. Richard, I'm glad you're listening. I don't know anything about you. But you know what? You're listening to the show, and I'm grateful for that. So just keep listening, and maybe we could talk sometime. Call us. Call in. Just keep it clean when you talk, and we'll talk about this stuff. All right, this is from Dwight. He was commenting on the story I told you yesterday, which some of you undoubtedly heard about, the editor of Christianity Today writing that article about how the president should be removed from office, and the ignorance that he showed was amazing about what was really true and what wasn't. Pretty upsetting. A lot of Christian leaders signed a letter opposing that. There was just a lot of a firestorm about that. So Dwight is responding to that, and he's talking about how Christianity has degenerated, just like universities and other institutions, and he makes comments about that. But what I want to read to you is when he says, "I committed to reading the Bible daily." No, but let me back up. "The question comes to me that if we have no time to spend with God now, will he have eternity to spend with us? I committed to reading the Bible daily, and more recently, twice a day. I read the complete Bible at the rate of four times a year. We can only know the truth if we know the source. Jesus said, 'I am the truth.' He also promised that when he went away, he would send the Spirit of Truth. Very few people have or value the Spirit of Truth. By the way, Trump is a much more godly man than many Christians. He actually keeps his word." That was a very good point, Dwight. I just had to read that. And I wanted to read the part about Bible study because just taking it in, spending time in God's word. I maybe don't say enough about that, but I certainly believe in it. And I think that is the weakness. That is the weakness of our churches. It's the weakness of our pastors. It's the weakness of us. I've been in Russia where they had this was before the fall of the Soviet Union, and I met with Christians who had maybe one out of 100 had a Bible, and they were torn and ragged. They valued it. I've been in China where they were beaten because they had Bibles in their homes. They read it. They treasured it. They would share like a page with each other and pass it around. And there is power in God's word. It's not a duty. It's not a list on your things to do for the day. It can't be reduced to that. And if you have not gotten to the point where just sitting and reading God's word and letting God speak to you has moved and empowered and changed your life and for that moment and that day, then this is what I encourage you to find. Don't, again, just let it be something you put on your to-do list. Pray that God will really reveal himself. In order to do that, you've got to ask forgiveness for your sins. You've got to cleanse your own heart because God really can't work through you if you're harboring and playing with stuff, if you're flirting with someone at work, if you are, you know, cheating, if you're stealing, if you're gossiping. You know, try to ask God for forgiveness and then ask him to come and commune with you. And he will. He will. And then that time of Bible study will be so sweet, you won't want to miss it. And so thanks for that reminder. We had that Christmas special that I just mentioned to Phil, and we had a lot of nice response about that. Susanna said she'd been a listener for many years. She said, lots of lovely, meaningful music. I chose it because I love it, you know? Love it. I listened to it again myself this year, and it you know, it's just powerful because it's music of, it's God's word. Wonderful. And this from Kirk. Thank you, Sandy, for the reminders this morning, and he's talking about that Christmas special. For the reminders this morning from God's word and the retelling of the first advent of our Lord, my earthly father of 94 passed into glory last night, and I didn't have the heart to listen to more of ongoing political drama and crisis in our nation. So I'm going to just stop. These are my words. So Kirk is saying he tuned into the show, really his heart, I'm sure, tender and broken at the last loss of his dad, and he didn't really want to listen to politics and news, but he tuned in, and what he heard was that Christmas special with the incredible music and the reminder of God's goodness and sending his son, which thrills me too, Kirk, to think that God used us that morning for you. Kirk says God is good, and he does all with righteousness and justice. The days of the wicked are numbered. Boy, you're right about that. You're right about that. And then Barb asked me, she said, thank you so much for your inspirational program today. I listened and prayed and sang along. I love the story behind the carol, O Holy Night. Thank you for making my quiet time so special today. And then she asked me about, she said, I should play some of my own songs. I have, just not often. And she was very kind to say, you should play some of your own songs. Did you ever record Mary, Did You Know? Your fans would love to hear some of your songs. It's funny, if I have time to tell this, I want to tell this really. This is a cool story for me. It's personal, very personal. I used to, for those of you that don't know, I used to be a professional singer, and I recorded 3 albums and traveled and sang a lot of places. And so, when I started doing radio, I really had to make a transition, because if you're going to be serious, I was a serious musician, singer, and I consumed my life. So now I'm a serious political commentator, and that has consumed my life. I can't, I was not able to do both. So music really slipped from my fingertips, and I did not sing for years. And a few years ago, I was asked to sing at a wedding, and it was really a meaningful request. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't think I can sing. And yet I felt I needed to say yes, because we love the people who ask us. And so I started, interestingly enough, it was a Catholic wedding, and I thought, oh, they're going to ask me to sing Ave Maria. I have no idea what will come out, and it frightened me. Plus, I was really busy. How am I going to do this? And so instead, they chose, unbeknownst to me, Mary, Did You Know? So I rehearsed it like crazy. I sounded horrible. I sang every day. As you know, I'd get off the air, and I would sing. I went to the wedding. I can't have to hurry this. I was sick. My voice was horrible. I got some antibiotic. When I got to the church, they had substituted a pianist last minute, and I was worried, but he was phenomenal. He's the chief keyboardist for America for theater in Chicago. He started to play, and I started to sing, and the heavens opened up. My voice came out as good as it had ever been. It was the most glorious experience. God was so good to me, and I feel like ministry really happened to the people of that wedding. So you asked me, I never recorded it, but I did sing it. So that's my story. Hey, listen, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Monday. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.